He said no, you need figure down. He said no, no need figure down. Rock that, run that, this how we frown. He said no, you need figure down. He said no, no need figure down. Rock that, run that, this how we frown.
Hey, Bron. I'm good. It's been a great week. How you been?
I'm excellent. I was so excited about getting on this show and jumping into some of these crazy, confusing, dating and relating topics that it's just going to be an awesome show. I know we're going to definitely get it in. Callers, please hit us up at 347-857-3969. 347-857-3969. So, Bunny, what are we going to talk about on this show of the second edition of Bunny and the Bron?
Oh, I got to tell you, we do this because we're single and you know, we're out there and seeing all kinds of things. And one of the things that I've seen pop up big in the past 3 months is people asking about polygamy early on before they even meet me. And I at first thought it was just a one-off. And then when someone else asked about it, I was like, what's going on here? What's with the trend? So I figured, hey, let's do a show about it. I'm sure other people are curious. Other women might be getting questions like, what are your thoughts on polygamy? How do you feel about polyamory? Coming across some men or women in the area as you're dating them, finding out they're swingers. What I am seeing is that people are a little covert about finding out your thoughts and feelings on these things, but I wanted to see some statistics. I wanted to have a rough, rugged, and raw conversation, Bron.
That's awesome. So we're going to jump into polygamy. Oh, that's going to be a good subject. And then you're talking about some of the swingers. You're going to get into a little bit of the swinging?
Yeah, I actually have a story for our second segment that should make y'all's mouth drop and then laugh, maybe a snort or two. But yeah, that's another one that has come up lately. I've never known pineapples to be so powerful.
really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to have to educate us. You're going to have to educate us vanilla folks on the swinging lifestyle.
Oh,
you
wow.
Know, you're definitely going to have to let us know. So on the third segment, I guess we're just going to, you know, this is, folks out there, it is Valentine's Day. I mean, tomorrow's Valentine's Day. So I guess we're going to do a little, you know, Bunny and the Bron Valentine's Day list. You know, I'm sure Bunny can tell the fellas out there the things that we should get for the ladies. And ladies, I'll see if I can put some things out there that, you know, that y'all, that I know the fellas would love to have on the third segment. But with that being said, Bunny, come on. Let me know about this polygamy, or please inform me. I'm all ears.
All right, then. So I don't like to not be educated when I'm going to speak on something that I am feverishly against. So I went and I did some deep research, and I want to share some statistics with you all about polygamy. And I have to tell you, as I was diving through this information, I was blown away. Like, I think Americans as a whole are having the least sex out there. Like, there's only 22% of societies that are actually monogamous. Nigeria
what?
And Kenya. I know. 78% of societies are actually polygamous. And, of course, there's, you know, multi-levels. What I was reading is there's polyandry, polygamy and such, where, you know, there's multiple wives. There's also a multiple husband. There's even a name for one that was two brothers that take on multiple wives, which I didn't delve into that. I thought that was a little creepy, but I stuck with straight-up polygamy because that tends to be the most popular that I was reading about. And it stems back to birth rate. For every 105 men that are born, there's 100 females born, and 5 is a low number until you're talking about hundreds of thousands of births. So we are left with more men than women globally. So in that 22%, I know, I'm telling you, I feel rare right now. So I, you know, just a couple more numbers just to put it in perspective as 15% of primates are polygamous, of mammals are polygamous, I mean monogamous. So 15% of primates are monogamous and 3% of mammals are monogamous. So polygamy is definitely heavily practiced amongst a lot of other cultures. Now, I don't know if that necessarily falls in line with the fact that America tends to be more Christian, Catholic, you know, God-fearing. That could be part of it because, of course, as the Bible states, you take a wife. However, kings had concubines, I don't know, I'm just saying. But yes, I'm right. So
you're a goddamn disgrace!
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Bunny. This is just so wild for me right now. Listen to all this polygamy stuff. I just had to plug that in. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's all right. I'll tell you, you know, the first articles I was reading that upset me had clearly been written by people that were pro-polygamy because it was very much, you know, it creates harmony. The men take on, you know, these wives and it's their job to protect them. But then I started getting into the more wiki book Psychology Today reading where they actually had done research and dove in. And there's a couple things that are alarming in a polygamous situation. And one of the first is that the women tend to be younger. I mean, they tend to be taken on as teens because these older husbands want that younger wife. So every time they get married, they take a new, it's a teen, which leads to more children, more reproductivity. But think about that for a minute, Bron. Think about that. Mm-hmm. These teenagers are getting into these marriages. Where's their education? It's difficult, if not impossible, for them to finish their education because they're having babies. You know, the next thing is that young age has led to lethal domestic violence. You know, because the men are so much older, they have this ownership thing over these girls. Very, very upsetting. They actually said it suggests that it is relatively and potentially much more dangerous than monogamy relationships because the age gaps of 16 years are not uncommon when accumulating young wives. You know, so the average new wife taken on is 16 years younger than the man. And it doesn't just stop there. The violence doesn't stop there. You know, think about the situation of the women. You know, you've got these older wives, they call them senior wives. In polygamy, there's nothing such as co-wives. It's a word that's loosely thrown around, but from what I've now seen, there's actually a hierarchy, which makes sense. I mean, that would make sense, just like the queen was above the concubines, right?
Right, so absolutely.
There's a hierarchy among these wives, where the senior wives then worry they're going to be replaced by younger wives. Younger wives are turning around, and they're worried about the power exerted by the senior wives. The level of domestic violence is higher because as the wives seek to preserve their place in the marriage with the husband, they're also trying to make sure they're securing enough of that financial resource for their own biological children.
Wow.
So all this is going on under one roof. And they wrapped it all up with the, you know, these type of conflicts lead polygamous family units, particularly those with three or more wives, to higher rates of divorce. And that's really what I was going for. my thing was, how does this relate to long-term relationships? Is polygamy a road that people should be, you know, taking a look at? Does it persevere the marriage? Does it make the relationship stronger? The answer is no. Research has indicated higher divorce rates among polygamous families. So, point made. So,
I find you unacceptable.
It is so unacceptable. I'm telling you.
It is
that
unacceptable.
Right there,
it's
that is amazing. Go ahead, continue, please.
You know I'm not done. You know I'm not done. So there's polygamy, and then there's wannabe polygamous. Boy,
wannabe.
I tell you.
Okay.
How many men are out here dating, trying to accumulate concubines. We're not trying to be concubines in here. I gotta tell you a story. So, you know, I've been dating for the past year. You know, God forbid, the men that I've dated the past year, watch out, man, because I've got so much, I could write a book, and I just might. So one of the men, I met him, nice guy, you know, the kind that does everything right, opens your door.
Right.
Total gentleman. Always was willing, because we lived about an hour away, always willing to drive to my side of town to go out. We ended up in a relationship almost 2 months. In a relationship 2 months. Something's not sitting with me. Like, what's going on? So I do my typical CIA female, I have a uterus, I will find out everything search on social media. Once he drops it to the desk. This ex, and when I say ex, I'm in hashtag ex, is pregnant. 4 months pregnant. Not even 3 months pregnant. She was 3 months pregnant. So I immediately, you know, I end the relationship. I let him know. You know, I'm not a homewrecker. I was devastated. I was very hurt. He was convinced it wasn't his. Let me tell you, he fought so hard it wasn't his, but it was black and white for me. There's, you know, a baby on the way with somebody's ex, and they split up not too long ago. I think it's pretty obvious.
Exactly. Exactly.
So this dude still reached out to me every couple of weeks, trying to talk about how it wasn't his, paternity test. Again, back to CIA covert operation. I finally, this Christmas, reached out to the mother of the children. It is, in fact, his. I got to see a picture of the child, not because I wanted this man back, but because I really needed to alert the authorities if he didn't leave me alone.
Wow.
So there are men out there that are really, truly trying to have multiple women, full-on relationships. And I got to tell you, men, here's a piece of advice. There are plenty of women out there that are willing to be on the side. They're willing to be just for the night because they don't want you to interrupt what they've got going on in their life at that moment. I think every woman goes through a phase where we're just, you know what, you are Mr. Right Now, and I'm cool with that. But you've got to be upfront with that. You really do.
Right.
But then that goes into, you know, polyamory. And multiple relationships. And I know you have a story for that. I mean, that is a little different. You know, the polyamory is when people know about each other. You know, there's one guy or one woman, and there's multiple girlfriends or multiple boyfriends, and everybody's pretty aware. And in some cases, these people even live together as happy couples.
Yes.
So I don't buy that ultimately you can be a happy couple when you're constantly sharing your relationship with someone.
Okay.
But I think you have a story. I don't know if we have time before the break that you can tell your story. Can we, bro?
We can see if we can squeeze it in. You know, I'm all about putting things in tight places. That's what I'm known for. So I ran across a woman on an online dating site not too long ago, who told me straight up, she was straight up, rough, rugged, and raw honest, and said, I am in poly relationships. So me being the inquisitive guy that I am, I said, well, tell me about them. She said, sure. I am currently, that's what she said, she was in 5 poly relationships.
Was she trying to add you to the harem?
Well, I think she tried to figure out if I would accept such, and then where would I fit in her in her, you know, I can say it, in her concubines of people. First, she had a man. Well, I had to ask her. I said, really, tell me, how did you get involved with it? She said, well, she was part of a husband-wife who had invited her to be a part of a relationship, and they were in a relationship for 3 years. The woman actually lived with them for 3 years in this poly relationship. So when she left California, she came to Atlanta, and she decided to continue that poly relationship with a man in California. She had a married guy here in Atlanta, a single guy here in Atlanta, that's three, a woman who was bisexual, that's four, and she had another guy who was separated, made it five. And I don't know how I was gonna equate and get into that situation. So I told her, I said, you know, I with all due respect, I'm going to decline from that opportunity. And she understood, but we still kept in contact. For about 2 weeks later, Bunny, she calls me up and she's crying. I'm like, why are you crying? She said, one of my polys broke up with me.
She's crying because, wow.
Yeah, she said the guy in California couldn't handle the long distance relationship and the fact that she was with other people. So she was actually heartbroken by that situation, and I was totally thrown back on that. I said, well, I'm sure you'll be able, you know, she said with each poly, she told me with each poly she put emotions and feelings into each relationship. And I said, how could you turn that on and turn it off? She said, when I'm with that person, I'm with that person. And it was just the strangest thing. So
I don't know. Almost sounds like non-paid prostitution to me. I'm just saying.
But to be honest with you, Bunny, she said a lot of it wasn't sexual.
Seriously?
That's the crazy part. A lot of it wasn't sexual. The married man and the guy who was separated, there was no intimacy. It was more just comfort. So I don't understand the wild world of the poly folks, the poly people. But I don't know. That's something that I wouldn't particularly dwell into. But it's good conversation. I tell you, those for all the fellas and females that are out there looking for polys, I think you are
we're
not going to find the right ones here. Yeah, we're not going to be the ones that are going to be available on that. But so Bunny, tell me what's the consensus? So other than we're not available for any poly relationships, what else is consensus on that?
The consensus on poly is we're giving it a thumbs down.
Oh,
Bunny and LeBron, just say no to poly.
Just say no to poly.
I will say, though, I'm going to tell you, if you're my man and you need multiple women, baby, I can buy wigs and outfits. I promise you, we'll keep it right. We'll keep it right.
That's right.
Women do that. I promise you. Keep men. I've always said men are made to reproduce. God made you to procreate. So if you need a different woman every night, just tell your woman, go shopping, get some wigs, get some new outfits, you spice everything up, it'll be all right.
I totally agree. That is awesome. And I think that men need to understand, if you can find the right woman, why would you want to – I mean, it's one thing to have the right woman, but it's another thing to have multiple women where you're just providing whatever needs that they require and you require. That's unfortunate for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
So,
all right. Did you see us up some good music, Bron?
Oh,
do we have good music for our break?
Yeah. I had to come correct on that. I had to come correct. So we're about to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back from the break, we're going to dwell into this thing called the swinger lifestyle, buddy. Is that correct?
It is. And wait till you hear some of these statistics.
I know I can't wait. I'm sure the listeners can't wait. And hey, we'll be right back. Callers, hit us up at 347-857-3969. Once again, 347-857-3969. We'll be right back.
Lead me on, girl, if you. Take of me all that you want.
It's the Bunny and the Bronze show. So we're back from the break. And Bunny, so what's this other segment that you're trying to jump into? What's up? What's this all about?
All right. So there's, you know, the Paulies and the people that, you know, do it all for relationships. But then there's the people that use sex as a hobby. Now, I was first introduced to swinging, not myself personally, but a girlfriend of mine and her husband were swingers. I know, right? Mm. Yes. Marinate on that photo visual. Just kidding. So this girlfriend of mine and her husband were swingers. Now, when I met her, they were already divorced, and she actually told me that she believed the lifestyle is ultimately what ended their relationship. Now, this was back when I was up in Maine. Maine is kind of still on the down low, but, you know, here in Atlanta, wow. they sell pineapple flags at the Home Depot. So I was doing, again, want to be able to speak educatedly on the topic, so that way when I have my staunch opinion, at least I've got some numbers behind me.
Okay.
I was taking a look, and one of the things I wanted to know is, what are the hot spots? What are the hot spots for swinging? The hot spots are, there's a little place in Indiana that's number one. Number two is New Orleans. And then I'm going to say number two and number three might not even necessarily be anything other than people go there to party. So you might be a swinger for a weekend. But number three is New Orleans. I mean, number three is Vegas. Two is New Orleans. I am not shocked by this. Number five is Atlanta.
Atlanta.
Number five, Hotlanta.
For a reason.
I wonder. I would love to know what the percentage of Magnum purchases are in this city. Number six is New York. Nine is Chicago, and 10 is San Fran. So you're talking about these big trendy hubs. And again, I'm monogamous in a relationship. I don't be sharing my stuff. My man's not allowed to share his stuff. I'm like, everybody's just getting some. And I don't know where I fall in here. I'm a little upset. But going on, so how do you know? You want to be into the lifestyle. You want to dabble in the lifestyle. How do you know? How do you find people? Well, if you're in Hotlanta or one of these other hot cities, you can do something as simple as put a pineapple in your grocery cart up where you would keep your purse or your wallet keys. Just put that pineapple up there, and that lets other swingers know that you are open for advertising. Another thing is if you go into somebody's house and they have a pineapple upside down on their counter. Now try to picture that. Like, how do you put a pineapple upside down on your counter? It's got all that green stuff at the top, right?
That's a new one for me. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, I read that on, I don't remember what site I went to. It was like answers.com. So I don't know how good that information is. But, and another one is a pineapple on the mailbox. Pineapple on the mailbox says, we are swingers. A girlfriend of mine, I run a networking group here in the Atlanta area, and it's a women's networking group. And we're all business women, but they know my show is coming up. So, you know, we got a little talking. And she was telling me she lives up in Canton. She lives in Canton. And she lives in one of the biggest swinging communities in the state and didn't know it when she moved in. She said, we lived there for 15 years, and my husband and I just thought we weren't popular because nobody invited us to their parties. And then she found out it's because all the parties were swinging parties. So some of the top psychologists and authors, these are just some of the things that they have said. The Curtis Bergstrand, a sociologist at Bellarmine University in Kentucky, actually said most swingers are very much in love and they have lots of trust and they look at the sex as recreation. I can see how, you know, yeah, I'm going to go play pool with my man. Yeah, we're going to go have drinks. We're going to have dinner. Yeah, we're going to go see the neighbors. I mean, this is a recreation. What is that supposed to mean? And what does that mean for the third party? You know, they have no... I don't know. There's just no value there. I probably sound so like living inside a box. Another woman, Rachel Sussman, she is the author of The Breakup Bible and a relationship expert. She actually said, I've never heard anyone say that swinging improved their marriage. But the key, if you're going to do it, is to establish hard and fast rules before you start. You know, what is your partner allowed to do? What are you allowed to do? Because there's rules. There's rules. You can sleep with my cousin, but, you know, let me just tell you, here's the rules. There's the soft swap, where couples engage in all sorts of things except actually swapping partners for the sexual act. Full swap goes all the way. I like how you're saying, mm-hmm, like, you know. I think the wrong person might be talking right now. Some stipulate same room only, and others are okay with, you know, people going off for privacy. I thought this was interesting. Even though many people assume that swinging is the man's fantasy, it's often women who find themselves to enjoy it more. And men are more likely to feel competitive with other men, wondering if their wives or partners prefer a swinging partner, whereas women tend to be supportive of each other within the swinging scene. And as I'm reading this, all I'm thinking is women are supportive of each other in the swinging scene. I mean, do you, like, take out your pom-poms and, like, get him, girl, get my man? I don't know. And I loved this part. And it made me feel a little bit better just in case I ever, I don't know, were drunk enough, completely out of it. But swingers are not necessarily gorgeous, so you don't, you know, but listen, you see all shapes, sizes, and races, but you see the eights paired up with the eights and the threes with the threes. So if you get in a situation at least you know you're going to be on the same level attractive-wise with the person that you're swinging with. But keep in mind, people, before Jay gives his side of it, that even with condoms, swingers pick up viruses like herpes and HPV that lead to cervical and throat cancer. So that's what I say. Swinging gets a no from me because I'm uptight and I only need one. I'm going back to the wigs and outfits. Wigs and outfits.
Wigs and
but Bron,
outfits.
Tell me, Bron. I'm dying to hear what you have to say about this.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, we only have about 5-6 minutes left, so whew, good for me. Well, first of all, I want to say I know this is a PG-13 show, so I'm definitely going to try to keep it as such. And I will say that, about 10 years or so, 10 years ago or so, I was approached by a woman I was dating to be more open-minded towards different parts of the city of Atlanta. So not to give out some of these particular clubs, but there was a few in Atlanta. There's one very well-known here in Atlanta. It's almost like a – Bunny, it's almost like a tourist spot. If you're in Atlanta, you got to go to this particular spot.
Mm-hmm.
So and let me tell you about these particular swinger clubs. I had the fortune or misfortune of going to a few, and they're most of them are a BYOB type events. You go in, and they have locker rooms of such, and some of them actually have, blocked-off rooms. Other ones have, like, open-area bays to some extent.
Wait, now. Hold up now. let me just get this straight, because let me tell you, I know we're PG-13, but we all know what the room smells like after you leave to go get a snack and you come back upstairs. So you're telling me open areas of, like, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm good.
So I will say this. I went in, myself and the person I was with, went in, of all the times, not to say all the times, but on the times that we did go to these places, we went in as voyeurs. Now, remember you said you mentioned about hard swaps, soft swap. We went in as voyeurs, which we were called vanilla. When you're non-swingers and non in lifestyle, you're called vanilla. So we kind of came in as very novice, and just because of the craziness that we heard about it. So the main attraction one here in Atlanta has their now you're talking about some sanitary stuff. It had an actual jacuzzi, a jacuzzi tub where people would get in.
Nah, bruh.
Yeah. So
unless there is a chlorine, rinse going, and even then I'm good.
Oh yeah. So, and those places are not cheap. I will tell you, just an average couple would pay anywhere from $75 to $150 just to get in for one night. Memberships can go into the thousands. And for a single man, you can forget about it. You're looking at dropping $200 to $300 just to walk in. So
wow, I wonder what
very,
it costs
very,
for a woman.
Now,
I know typically women can get into places like that inexpensive because they want to have that,
right,
that draw.
Right. So a single woman, depending on what night it is, can get in for virtually free. A single woman walking in is they call them the unicorns. Single women are considered unicorns. And they because you're so rare, you're a single, preferably a bisexual woman looking for fun. So that's what they call them, the unicorns.
Wow. So I'm one morally inept decision away from being a unicorn. That's fantastic.
Yeah, a unicorn. So the swinger lifestyle, I've actually been invited to. And here's I'm going to tell you how big, and I'm going to tell you how segregated it is real quick.
Mm-hmm.
It's big because these swingers go on – when we're talking about trips around the country, we're talking about trips around the world. They've had swinger events here in Atlanta where couples fly, hundreds of couples fly to Jamaica, Bahamas, Bermuda. They fly all around the world. And not only do that, but they have monthly events where they can sit around and go bowling, comedy clubs, movies, dinners, dancing. So it's a rather large event. But the segregation part of it is, when a person of color goes into a certain event, he's considered or she's considered more of an oddity, more so than they're not really approached unless that particular couple has a fetish for that particular person of color. So
did you just tell me that some swinger situations are racist?
Yeah.
Without saying it? Okay, well, put it out there, because that actually fires me up a little bit, because if I were to be morally inept, your type's the one I'm looking for.
Yes.
I want to have all the way fun.
Yes, they are racist swingers out there who only want that, and then there are swingers who they're very specific in what they're looking for.
Gotcha.
I will say this was more than 10 years ago. I was approached by a very well-to-do couple who wanted myself and my girlfriend at the time to come to their house, which happened to be out in Canton. They were talking about they talked about every like 3 to 4 months they fly their friend from Miami to live with them for a week for playtime. And they had asked if we wanted to play with them. We respectfully declined, but they had a very, very, very nice home. They had a boat at one of the major lakes out here, and they were very well to do.
I have a question for you, Ron.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Since you have experienced the situation, now obviously you're not with this woman anymore that you know had introduced you into this lifestyle. What is your feedback on long-term relationships? How does it affect your long-term relationship?
Well, just like that doctor pointed out, the person who said it ended terribly, because you have to go into those type of environments with a set of ground rules. And not to get into too specifics, we'll have to talk about that later. But at a particular event, we went in with a certain ground rule that we were going to just watch and observe and be the voyeurs. However, due to alcohol and inhibitions and things of that nature, she began to take it a little bit further than what we had set our rules upon. I found that disturbing, and that was my first question.
As a man, did that was that something that would have been exciting for you, or was that we're in the confines of a relationship and we agreed that this wouldn't happen?
Right. Okay. If we had set rules and ground rules that, hey, nothing's going to happen at this particular event or because that's where we're going into. And because I would think she'd be mad at me if we went into a situation where we had certain rules, don't play with anybody else. And then 20 minutes later, she sees me in a compromising position. So it definitely ended, and there were so many different layers to it, which, like I say, we'll keep the audience guessing, and we only got it. We're about to take our next commercial break. But hey, if you want to take this over to the next segment, it's totally fine with me. But
I would love to start our next segment with you wrapping up, how that actually affected the relationship, because ultimately this whole show is to let people know real life what these types of decisions do to a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can move into our fun stuff.
No problem at all.
Our more lighthearted stuff.
Sounds
okay,
great.
Well, I can't wait to hear what song you pick. And we'll be back on in just a few minutes.
All right, on the Bunny and the Bronze Show. We'll be back.
We'll be right back.
Hey, we're back. We're back. It's the Bunny and the Bronze Show. So, Bunny, what were you saying before the break?
I believe I was saying we should carry on with your story.
I really
want to hear how that situation, you know, ended up, what it might have affected the, you know, how it might have affected the relationship, you know, what it might have done. If you felt that if at any point it actually heightened the relationship before a fall, or if you think it convoluted it from the beginning, I'm really interested about that part.
Well, I will tell you that it would definitely convoluted the relationship. It was definitely the demise or the linchpin on the relationship, as far as because the swinger lifestyle totally revolves around trust.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you get into, that's like we talked about soft swap and hard swap and, you know, closed area, open areas. You have to have trust with your partner that he or she is going to do the right thing. And that trust, you know, trust like that takes years. I found out that the ones that were enjoying the lifestyle were married for at least a decade.
Okay.
And they were older men and women. Preferably, they were older in a more, I would say, the lighter, whiter version. They really, really felt that it was something to enhance the relationship, bringing in a younger, hotter couple. And so
yeah.
you had couples that were threes looking for eights. So it was a trust issue as far as how the demise with us, as far as I'm concerned. And I can honestly tell you, we as a couple or individually never took it to that level. We never played with another couple or did anything individually. It was just a lot of trust issues because you can go in with an agenda, you and your partner. However, the people outside have their own agenda.
Well, my question is this too. Like, if you know that your partner is interested in that kind of lifestyle, does that rent space in your head when you're not together on, say, because did you all live together or were you separately living?
Oh, separately living. But it was,
okay,
it
so,
was, it was, mm-hmm. Go ahead.
So on the weekend nights that you didn't have plans, did it ever rent space in your head that she might be off experimenting something?
No, because I think, especially when you're dealing with single women, the unicorns, they like to be called, that's where, and I mean, there are a lot of very adventurous single women out there, but when you go into an environment like that, you have to be, it helps to have a male figure. Because you never know what situation you might get involved into. But you find out that you may, you know, as a couple, you may go in with a lot of intention, with the best intentions, but the swinger mm-hmm. lifestyle really, really, really tests a relationship.
Okay.
So it's one thing to be at a threesome, but it's another thing to being in a swinger lifestyle. But I've talked to couples who really enjoyed it and have been in it for a decade or two. So
there's a couple that's in their late 40s, and they actually attest it to keeping their excitement in their marriage. Which, you know, I can respect. It's not my decision. I know some people, mm-hmm. you know, that's great. That's good for them. I personally am too freaked out by things like disease, emotional detachment, because, you know,
of course.
Especially if you end up in the same club over and over and you end up choosing the same partners. As human beings, it's difficult to have that kind of connection without eventually having some form of an emotional bond. And I just,
absolutely.
I don't have any room for that in a relationship I'm in. But at the same time, I don't knock people to do it. Story.
Mm-hmm.
You want my story now? It's a good one.
Go right ahead.
Okay. Not this New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve passed. It was the month of December, and I met somebody online. Super nice guy, ex-wrestler, very refined, well-dressed, well-spoken. if you're from Atlanta, he took me to McKendrick's for dinner as our first date. So he was definitely trying to impress me. It was just a great first date. Went out again, had dinner. New Year's Eve party was coming up, but something was off. Like, where I'm from, there's so much tolerance for things like hetero homosexuality. You know, there's just so much tolerance in Maine. I love it. But at the same time, you still pick up that, like, if it's somebody you're going to date, I don't want to smell that on you. That's just nothing I want to pick up on. But something wasn't sitting right. So I talked to my girlfriend, and I wasn't interested in this person as in a relationship sense, but he became a research project. And my girlfriend has this gay male couple, and we were having a huge New Year's Eve house party. So I invited this man. Now, this guy, and I typically don't date short, Jay, you know me, I'm a 6 foot and up girl. He was only like 5'8", but he was like 5 feet wide because he was an ex-pro wrestler. So super manly looking, shows up to the party. Our gay guy friends, at first, they're like, no, you're good. He's definitely straight. He's sitting there talking up football. We're all in this heated football discussion. Just manly, right? So throughout the evening, he had gotten behind my back a little touchy with my girlfriend. Like, he smacked her on the behind. And you don't do that because her man is Captain Possessive. You know, they're not from here. They don't take to that. Don't touch mine, you won't have none. So the rest of the evening goes by fine. We go our separate ways at like 3 o'clock in the morning. Everybody's winding down. I wake up the next morning at my girlfriend's house, and I get a message from our boys that had been to the party. And they're like, look, we don't know how to tell you this, but he hit on us last night. I was like, which
shut
up. He had gone up to those two, and because they had been kissing over in the dining area. You know, it was the end of the night. Everyone's drinking. So any couple that was there was going to be kissing. And he went up and he was like, he told them, you know, just watching you guys do that really, you know, really gets me going. It really turns me on. And they were like, right, because you're with, like, the quintessential, you know, bombshell at this party. Like, what are you doing, dude? So, like I said, I wasn't attached to him. It really was kind of a research, and it was fun for us. But when he went to call me back the next day to go out again, I didn't want to call him out. I didn't want to embarrass him because I thought maybe he was really drunk, and he would not have behaved that way so boldly if he hadn't been drinking. So I just told him that I think that we had different ideas of what family was, and I'm looking for a traditional relationship. I wasn't really sure how else to say that, but that ended the conversation, and I just didn't speak to him again. He hit me, you know, a couple months later with a, you know, happy St. Patrick's Day, and I just didn't respond because there's just nothing about that lifestyle that intrigues me at all. But it, again, especially here in Atlanta, there are people that are into that. Why are people so covert and down low about what they want? Just say, I want a relationship, but I need to be with somebody who's open to the hobby of sex. Or I want a relationship with you, but you know what? I can't just emotionally commit to you. I desire to be with multiple people. There are people that are going to be okay with that. You can't just go around assuming that once somebody gets to know you, they're going to be cool with your lifestyle. You know, at that point, you've wasted your time, you've wasted their time, you've hurt somebody's feelings. Just be open. I am so blatant with, this is what I'm looking for, this is what I want, this is what I need. If we don't have these things, let's stop. But there was something I wanted to touch on real quick tonight, too. And it's the dating in your late 30s to early 50s, you know, that age range a lot of us are in. There's this get-to-know-you period where you're spending tons of time on the phone, going out on dates, dating, you know, more than one person at a time, seeing who's going to be a good fit. And I got to tell you, I am starting to look at that almost like polyamory, because you're building relationships with multiple people at the same time. And I'm not saying I haven't done this. I found myself in this situation this fall where I had dated somebody who's kind of cool, and then went on a date the next weekend with somebody else. He was kind of cool. First guy came back around, I want to take you out again. And now I'm like, oh, my God, both these people are cool. And I had to figure out how to disqualify. You know, I am so at a point now where I almost feel like if you have enough in common that you want to be spending time with somebody and you're building a friendship with them, at this age, we should just be, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, take charge enough to say, let's just try this. And cut out all the distractions of other people. You know, because another thing people are doing is they're dating someone. And now I personally, if I start dating someone, I pull my profiles down. I take it seriously. You're getting my attention. But I've seen the other person still keep theirs up. It's like a lack of commitment to the cause. And how are you going to get to know somebody when you're doing that? And are you really being honest about what you want at that point? Yeah, I'm going to go out with you. We're going to spend time. We're building something here. But, hey, you know, this chick over here just messaged me. I'm just going to say hi. You know, so that I would actually like to have that be a segment on one of our upcoming shows on, you know, how to properly find a mate when online dating, because it doesn't work. It doesn't work. You can't form commitment out of situations where you're building with multiple people, even in a conversation, because you can have sex without love, but you can't have love without sex. Like that's that communion of the relationship. That being said, though, you can form attachment to other people while you're in a relationship through conversation. And I just think that we should delve into that at some point, because I think at this age, there's too many of us out here that have it together, are attractive, smart, and funny, and single. And I think that's one of the reasons why, in my humble opinion.
Oh, I totally agree, Bonnie. I think that, you know, there is online dating etiquette.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to discuss that. We need to talk about the do's and don'ts when online dating. And we talked about this before last week about how everybody's Beyonce, all the women are Beyonce, and all the guys are Boris Kodjo and Taye Diggs and Morris Chestnut online. You could be anybody you want to. Online, you hide that shield. You're behind that computer. You can be anybody. You can tell them anything you want. But when you transfer that to conversations and actually meeting, and that's where the veils come down, and you get to see the people for who they really are. So, but yes, we can definitely talk about that. Definitely talk about that. Right. So, Bunny, we got about 4 minutes left on our show.
Yeah.
And we need to address this upcoming event tomorrow.
Yes. Happy Valentine's Day, Bron.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you. So you had mentioned that we should just share a few tips on what would be a good gift to get for women and men. Well, I would say as a woman, it depends on what stage of the relationship you're at, because women do get freaked out about serious gifts early, and they get pissed if you buy them a toaster at 2 years. So you know, if you've only been together for, I would say, you know, less than 6 months, unless you know you're going to be walking the aisle, dinner, flowers, and a small token are nice, you know, a charm bracelet, something she really loves, like if she cooks, you know, something really fun from the cooking store. If you've been together longer, it's going to need to be much more intimate. Jewelry is always nice, I won't lie. I wear a necklace that was given to me by my son 4 Christmases ago. The sentimental value of a piece of metal is huge to women, no matter what it is. And there's always massage gift certificates, something that will be pampering after the holiday, so that when she goes, she's going to be reminded again of how well you take care of her. So be it massage, nails, pampering of a pedicure, anything. And even if you don't have a lot of money, love coupons are fantastic. give her a book of coupons where you're going to give her a massage, you're going to give her a bubble bath, wash her hair, make her dinner. That goes a long way with a female.
That is awesome.
So
I'm writing this
that's
stuff
my
down,
input.
So I'm writing it out as you're talking, so go right ahead. I'm getting all this information down. So when I do find
okay,
my boo, I'll know exactly what to do. As far as the guys are concerned, Bunny, you know, keep it simple. But, you know, with guys, you find their attraction. You find what they're into. If the guys are into sports, and let's just say crazy situation, he's an actual New England Patriots fan. I know. You know, get him that Gronk jersey that he's been thinking about, or that Tom Brady jersey. I don't know why, but get him that Tom Brady jersey. You know, depends on how the relationship. See if you could set something up where you can actually go to a game. Men love, especially men that love sports. If your guy's in NASCAR, take him to a NASCAR event. But you could do something as simple as getting him his fresh pair of Jordans. Men love to feel pampered as well. You take your man. How about this, ladies? Why don't you and your man do a couples massage? I'm sure that'll get the mood going. A nice
couple massage.
Those
are always on Groupon too.
Exactly. So fellas are easy to please. A good meal, his nice favorite bottle of alcoholic beverage, and that sexy lingerie, and you pretty much got him where you want him.
Okay. Hold on. You hear this? This is me taking off. I gotta hit the liquor store first thing tomorrow. Well, after fall.
Exactly. Gotta hit the liquor store. His favorite bottle, and you trust me, ladies. He comes in the door, and you got on your favorite perfume going with that sexy lingerie and the bottle of his favorite. That's his. You've made his day. And if he smells anything remotely to a kitchen, something cooking in the kitchen, oh, it's a wrap. It's a wrap. So,
I love men. You guys are so great.
Yes, we are. We're easy to please. Really, really,
you really
easy
are.
To please. No coach bags or anything for us. Just give us food, fun, and
just,
the other F. And
just transfer. Just be able to transition tomorrow, ladies, from Betty Crocker to Jenna Jameson, and you'll have your man in bliss land.
Absolutely. Couldn't have said it better myself. Absolutely. So right. Bunny, anything you want to say before we call it a night?
Well, I want to talk about next week's show. Next week's show is a little different. I know the past couple weeks we've done something a little light. Next week is pretty heavy. February is the National Teen Dating Violence Month, and we're going to be discussing single parenting. A lot of us in this, you know, mid-30s to mid-50s have teenagers. We're going to be talking about teen dating violence, what it is, what the signs are, and we have an expert coming on. There's a woman who works with girls that are sex trafficked here in Atlanta. She owns a company called Powerhouse Self-Defense. Her name is Jennifer Reese-Polson. She's going to be getting on in our second segment to help us as parents, especially like for you, Jay, you have a daughter, to help us as parents look for signs to see that our children are being abused by their significant others. You wouldn't think that domestic violence went down that into that age range, but some kids are just being raised a certain way, and they're victimizing their other half. So it's scary business. It'll be an intense show, I'm sure. Like we always do, we'll wrap it up on a light note. But if you're a parent of an almost teen or a teenager, you've got to get on, hear what Jennifer has to say, and let's talk about this heavy topic.
That's awesome. Hey, I look forward to it. I cannot wait. To get on that to listening, because you know I have a 13-year-old myself, and I definitely need to know about those things.
Yes, sir. That's right. All right. Well, it's been great. Thank you for everyone that logged on, and I'm going to thank you ahead of time for replaying this show or playing the show for the first time 5 days from now. We appreciate you listening, and please catch up with us next week. We change to a different day. It's going to be Sunday. Still 8 o'clock though, but same channel.
All right. Hey, thank you so much. Thank you for another great episode, Bunny, of Bunny and the Bronze Show. And we'll talk to you next week. You guys take care.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.